We would like to begin this podcast by acknowledging that the land on which we record is the occupied, traditional, and unceded territory of the Stalo First Nation.
But I am so encouraged by children's natural ability to see the heart of God and respond with generosity and empathy and compassion to the issues that we are not starting from scratch. There is that element of God already in their hearts that it feels often more like stopping myself from overcomplicating things and just letting their natural, beautiful little responses to the hurt of the world shine through.
Welcome to the Ending Poverty Together podcast. I'm Shalane, and we're here to discuss big questions about poverty in bite-sized ways. Kenzie Watson has been serving as a pastor of children's ministries on Vancouver Island for 7 years, after serving in various parachurch roles in Vancouver's downtown east side. She was there for about 10 years and also spent time in Haiti after the earthquake in 2010. Despite planning to be an addiction counselor, Kenzie switched direction and got an MDiv from Cary Theological School. Kenzie is passionate about incorporating insights she's learned about the Bible and God from her time in parachurch ministry. But she still has a love for unconventional ministry, which is part of why she loves the opportunity to explore God's goodness and invitation to us through children's ministries at her church. Kenzie, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I am excited to be able to have this conversation with you about children and helping them understand poverty. I'm also grateful that the church you are with has been walking with Food for the Hungry communities for over 20 years. And I reached out to you several months ago to ask for your feedback on a new resource that we at Food for the Hungry have developed to help teach children about poverty, called Poverty No Kidding. And that was such a refreshing and encouraging conversation that we booked this opportunity for you to be on the podcast to talk about kids and how to engage with them about the big issues around poverty. So thank you for your input on that resource that is now available. And thank you for being willing to have this conversation today.
My pleasure. Looking forward to it.
So you have a passion for working with children. You have a passion for helping children gain insight into poverty and what to do about it. Where did that passion come from? What's your journey? How have you arrived at this place?
Oh, good question. I felt a call to serve underprivileged communities when I first came back to Christ in my late teens, that God's heart for others, particularly those that our society was not caring well for, it was foundational to who he is. God's love for me includes others. It's for all of us. And part of how we show our love for him is to love those he loves, particularly those that are not being loved well or cared for well in our society. So my first role in a ministry leadership role was leading a group of university students into a youth prison to run a Bible study. I was a part of that Bible study for about 8 years.
And
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was challenging and heartbreaking, but wonderful because God was at work in us and in the program and in the youth that we were meeting with, and the insights there of just realizing the heartbreak and pain and desperation that lead to the sort of circumstance that these folks were facing was insightful, and realizing God's unconditional love and care and how close he felt while we were doing his work of sharing his love with people that society, I mean, often these kids were in a situation where they had just been hurt by society and had responded poorly. But, you know, they were dealing with things like generational trauma and abuse and all sorts of pain. But there was something quite profound in realizing how close God felt when we stepped out of our comfort zone, stopped focusing on ourselves, started caring for others, particularly those who were hurting. And so I was involved in a few situations, a few circumstances where there was the Bible study in that youth prison, and then that extended to an adult women's prison that I was able to help with Bible study in there, working with an organization in the downtown east side where we would just walk around and hand out hot chocolate and talk to people and pray for people and realizing through a lot of conversations there, just the, again, the pain and the isolation and the trauma and the desperation, but also the beautiful generosity and care that the community had for each other and was willing to include us into. As we were thinking we're going out there, not with our lives all together, but we were the ones that had. They were the ones who did not have. So the giving would only be one directional. And realizing that just wasn't true.
Isn't that often the case?
Yes. And so, you know, we had a financial stability, but they had just such a, there's so often we just run into these situations where the little they had, they were willing to share with us, or the kindness and empathetic ear and watching folks take care of each other and look out for each other in ways that I don't often see in the more financially secure community.
Yes, there you go. Well, and you've had quite a transition from being in those places where you're connecting directly, whether it's youth in the prison or people who are street engaged, experiencing homelessness. You're now working in a church. I am a children's ministries pastor. How are you translating your life experiences into your children's ministry programs and experiences for kids in your church?
I try to bring an awareness of what first called me down there, of God's call for us to join him in loving others, to worship him through loving his children, to draw closer to God by joining him in the work that he's doing. That includes loving other people. And so there's a foundational understanding in my mind and in my theology that recognizes this as quite core to our calling to follow God. When Jesus was asked for the most important commandment, he responded with two, loving God and loving others. And that was not new with Jesus. That was, that's all throughout the Bible. And so as I teach the kids, I try to help them see that in all of the passages. It's always there. It's always connected.
I am curious around the how you do that, because even as you're talking, I'm thinking some of these concepts might feel really abstract for kids, and kids are very concrete. So are there ways that you make these realities of Jesus' call on our lives to love others really concrete, really practical?
I try. That is always the challenge.
Yeah.
I am seminary trained. When I went to seminary, I wasn't actually planning on being a children's pastor.
Okay.
It was a love that came to me after graduating seminary. So I did not go through thinking, how do I make this applicable to kids? I loved the abstract and the research and the all of those things that children don't care about or just their brains aren't developed enough to engage with. So it's been a bit of a challenge.
I think it's fair to say there's a lot of adults that don't care too, but
that's true.
That's not your target right now. Okay.
No. So it's always a challenge. It's always a work in progress. I never feel like I've got it solved or that I'm an expert in it, but I've tried a few different things. We talk a lot about loving our neighbors and including our siblings, even when they're annoying us, and our friends at school that we maybe wouldn't always want to label as friends. You know, the kids that are getting bullied and the kids that don't have anyone to play with. But we also will talk about those that society don't treat well, the underprivileged. So we have made up little plastic baggies with some essential care items to hand out to people who are experiencing homelessness and asking for help. Just grabbed a list from a local community center that helps people struggling with homelessness and what are needs in our local area. I live on the island. We don't have severe winters, so there's less severe winter type of items, but I found a list and I was like, great, we can put together some items from the dollar store, pack them up together, give the kids these little plastic bags of supplies that they can keep in, you know, their vans. And then, this is one of the key things, I think, with these sort of projects that we'll take on, is because it's so common for us as adults to get really bogged down in the complexities of the how do I help, that we can kind of shut down, or even start to project that discomfort onto the person asking for help. And be annoyed that they're asking for help, that we have to see their need for help.
Right. You're interrupting my peace. You're interrupting my day.
Exactly. Yeah. And to help kids not fall into that mindset, the complexities of how to help are going to be there, because that is just the reality of the world. Where does helping become hurting, and how do I do this well, and how do I do this with respect and in a way that helps long term? And there's lots of questions there. But for kids, building that foundation of God loves this person and wants me to help them because he loves them.
Right.
They don't have to do anything else to deserve it.
Yeah.
God loves them. Therefore, if we love God, we should love those he loves. So let's love this person. And giving them the tools to be able to act on that instead of getting bogged down with, you know, mom and dad, what do we do? And then mom and dad have to think up complicated answers and simple ways. And instead of falling into that trap, which can shut down the foundation building of why. Why is wrestling with the question of how so important? Where does the energy to keep wrestling with that come from, overcoming our overwhelm and
fear
and unknown and intimidation? That energy comes from knowing that God wants us to do it.
Right.
He says it's worth it because he loves them. And so if we can build that really strong foundation in kids, that God loves these people and wants us to show his love to these people being everyone, of course, with no exceptions, because there are no exceptions.
That can be the end of the sentence, no exceptions.
Exactly.
Kenzie, you referred to when helping might turn to hurting, Mm-hmm. And we've had conversations. I've actually had Brian Fickert on the podcast at one point talking about mm-hmm. when helping hurts. How do you see the manner in which you are doing ministry inside and outside of the church aligning with those principles? And you've talked a little bit about that already, that knowing the why and that this is God's call on our lives. Are there any other sort of practical insights you would have on how you're doing this work and how it aligns with those principles?
My work with the kids, I don't know that we're getting into the complexities of helping mm-hmm. to the point where we're really wrestling with those sort of complicated questions, besides the fact that I love partnering with organizations that are thinking about those sorts of things, mm-hmm. that are doing the work, that have teams putting in the thoughts and doing the research of
right.
what is actually helpful for the community that we're trying to help. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the stuff that we'll do with the kids will be in connection with an organization. Mm-hmm. We will do clothing drives and for organizations that are specifically asking for clothes. So while we don't have terrible winters, we do have winter and it's right. wet.
So maybe we could park there for just a minute, because I know when you and I talked earlier, that mm-hmm. was one of the opportunities that you used, I believe, to teach children about what kind of clothing to bring and mm-hmm. why. And maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. So we've done a few different drives. When we do, I like to have the collection pile in the kids' ministry space as that physical mm-hmm. prompt to curiosity. And, you know, when they ask questions naturally, I think they learn that much better than when I try and force the conversation there.
Right.
So questions of why is there a big pile of socks? And we can dive into that. But I also had an opportunity at a previous church to take a group of our older kids with us when we went and delivered the clothes to our place, a community center that mm-hmm. serves the unhoused in Victoria. So we were able to bring down the clothes. The kids helped me carry it in and saw some of the people who would be receiving the clothes mm-hmm. and were able to have a conversation about God's love for them, but also the passage where Jesus tells us that whatever we do for the least of these, we do for him,
right.
and create that more concrete connection between if Jesus was cold, we'd want to give him a coat, right?
Right.
And of course we would.
Yes.
And kids with their imagination connect very quickly to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can make that connection of like, that's what we just did.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus considers that us giving him a coat when he's
right.
cold, us giving him socks when he's cold.
Yeah. And I remember you saying in our other conversation, and what kind of coat would you want to give Jesus? What kind of socks would you want to gift him with?
Exactly. Yeah. And again, kids get there so quickly. Because their imaginations are just, they're so great. They're such a wonderful tool that, yeah, would you want to give Jesus the ratty coat?
Right.
Would you want him to have the nice coat?
Mm-hmm.
And that can help. We often have challenges for the kids as part of our Advent project, whatever we do for mm-hmm. Advent with the kids, where we'll work in going through their clothes and donating like last year's winter clothes, because they grow so quickly, there's lots of turnover. And so if it can be part of their Advent challenge, hopefully that helps our parents not have to do it all on their own. And that can help with the, but I really love that jacket. That was my favorite jacket. I don't really fit it anymore, but I really liked the color of it, or whatever it is that has that sort of sentimental attachment. It's like, yeah, but you could give it to someone and Jesus would count that as you giving him your favorite jacket that doesn't fit anymore. And these kiddos, like, of course they want to give Jesus their favorite jacket.
Of course, yes.
Right? Like, Jesus should have the pink sparkly jacket, 100%.
Right. That's awesome.
The generosity that comes from directly imagining Jesus receiving mm-hmm. the care. Mm-hmm. Kids are great with that. And mm-hmm. I think that's a great place to build their foundation for interacting with people who are struggling with poverty.
Right.
Let's have that foundation of generosity and compassion from picturing Jesus mm-hmm. being on the receiving end of whatever it is we're doing.
Yeah. And then it feels very much like you're also really building into the kids a respectful and empathetic posture, that there is that opportunity to think about what would it be like for someone to not have a jacket or whatever the case may be. And then kids are so naturally generous until adults kind of teach it out of them, unfortunately. So when they can be engaged at this young age, then you can create a lifetime of generosity and caring in helpful ways.
That's certainly the hope. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as adults, we complicate things. And so we can get into this mentality of, you know, it's easy to share some things, but other things are mine and they shouldn't be shared. And mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, prayer and emotional support and wisdom, we might feel more comfortable sharing, but financial resources, we don't. Or maybe we feel comfortable with the financial resources, mm-hmm. but learning wisdom from people with different cultures or life experiences mm-hmm. feels harder. But kids haven't built that hierarchy yet.
Right.
And so I find they can come to the table and treat all of this complicated life stuff with the simplicity of, like, if we came to the table to do a craft and I have extra scissors and you have extra glue sticks, we could just share. And then we both have a glue stick and both have a pair of scissors and we could mm-hmm. do our craft. And that simplicity is beautiful.
It is. And you're really touching, I think, on the for sure the complexity of poverty, but then also what we often talk about, that poverty isn't just a lack of material resources. And then I think that's where we have the opportunity to all be transformed, because we all experience poverty in some way, in different ways, at different times. We're just not necessarily as vulnerable in a particular area as others.
Exactly. Exactly. And that can be a more abstract concept to help the kids understand. Mm-hmm. But I find there's a lot of Bible stories that give you a more concrete narrative to help kids see that, where the person who was struggling with financial poverty in the story had deep insight about who God is or what God is up to, that the more financially secure in the story, or the ones with more political power, they don't know that God's up to this. They don't have this insight into who God is. And so they need each other. And there can be an element of helping the kids see that in, if the politically powerful, financially stable people didn't listen to this, essentially a society reject, because that's often who God works through.
Yep. He does love the marginalized, you know, and the vulnerable.
Right? You know, looking even at the Christmas story, where the shepherds were so looked down upon in society by that point. Mm-hmm. And people missed, like, the shepherds went and told as many people as they could that Jesus had been born, the Messiah was here. But most of them didn't listen. And so they missed out on years of knowing who Jesus was. And we can fall into that same thing if we're not willing to see that God would work through people that maybe don't have the coolest shoes or the newest game system, or, you know,
all those things. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So there's kind of a start to a bridge of understanding.
Yes.
Because I think kids do understand some of these things through more of the game systems and the shoes, and, you know, they're not necessarily understanding the financial complexities of life,
right,
the power structures, but they understand the popular kids in school. And so you can start making some bridges that, we all need each other. That's how God created us. We need to share. We need to learn from each other. We need to recognize that poverty hurts us differently but mm-hmm. will touch most of our lives. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, understanding vulnerabilities and privilege, and that we are called to step in for those who are most vulnerable in our society, mm-hmm. and not use our poverty as an excuse not to help others because we need to take care of ourselves at that time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have referred multiple times to in our society. I want to kind of finish with just a slightly different direction here. Your church, Lambrook Park, has partnered with Food for the Hungry, as I mentioned early on in our conversation, for a very long time. So I am curious, how have you helped kids connect to the work that's happening internationally? And maybe even specifically with FH communities, but it doesn't have to be, just internationally.
That is actually often quite a bit of fun. So when we have a team go abroad to join our partners that we partner with financially, but to actually get to see the work they're doing, or if we're hosting someone from one of the organizations we partner with internationally, I will try and get either have members of the team come to our kids' church and share about their time there, or I'll just share about it. But we use a lot of pictures. We'll talk about the challenges that the country is facing that require our financial support generally. But I also try and include a lot of respect for the culture. So
that's beautiful.
We'll include pictures of people having fun, dancing, having a good time, building things, showing off their skills. I mean, working with kids, if you can have candy or some sort of treat from the area, that's always a win.
Yeah.
Look, they've got chocolate. This is exciting.
It's a very tangible connection.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll play some music sometimes and just have a good time. But we'll also, I'll always make a point of talking about how people from that area are doing something inspirational or something we can admire. So talking about how they are listening to God, you know, their perseverance in the face of hardships, their wisdom and creativity in solving the problems that their country is facing. So many of the organizations that we partner with, like FH, will have, you know, Canadian representatives as well as working with the local population. And so I don't want to just highlight what the Canadian partners are doing, but specifically the people in the country. How are they helping their own people and helping the kids see how that is a beautiful obedience to God and something we can learn from, something we can encourage them with? Sometimes we'll make cards for the staff, and it'll be specifically, I'll encourage the kids to include an encouraging message of, I see how hard you're working. I see how well you're obeying God. To really just help hammer home that message of the beautiful things that work in that country in the midst of the needs.
Oh, and that's such a beautiful way to approach it, because yes, you are inspiring these children and you are encouraging this growth in their international awareness and their understanding of what we can learn from other cultures and other people. And you're also then providing this tangible encouragement for staff internationally who are doing this hard work. That's such a win-win.
That's the hope.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, sprinkled with some candy from the country to just make it all that much better.
Which never hurts.
Can't really overemphasize the candy with kids. That is a great connection.
Okay, so note to self. If you're listening, get candy. Kenzie, as we chatted before this time, one of the things I said was probably our time will be up and it'll feel like we just got started. And here we are. We are coming to a close. So I'm just wondering, is there anything else before we sign off that you were hoping to be able to share about or hoping that we could talk about?
I think I probably already touched on this, but I am so encouraged by children's natural ability to see the heart of God and respond with generosity and empathy and compassion to the issues. We are not starting from scratch. There is that element of God already in their hearts that it feels often more like stopping myself from overcomplicating things and just letting their natural, beautiful little responses to the hurt of the world shine through. It is complicated work to love our neighbors. The hows of that are complicated, and that is just the reality of the world we live in.
Right.
But the call to love our neighbors is simple. The why we love our neighbors is simple, because God does, and he wants us to as well. And kids are really good at getting at the heart of that. It's a beautiful thing to see.
We have much to learn from children, for
we
sure.
Do.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you being willing to have this conversation. And thank you for the work that you're doing and the ways that you are shaping future generations with this heart of love and seeking after God's heart in the work of addressing issues of poverty.
My pleasure.
If you're listening and you're interested in learning more about the new resource that Food for the Hungry has developed called Poverty No Kidding, you can email us at education@fhcanada.org. And if you're wanting to know how to explore what your next steps could be or find out more about FH Canada and Lambrook Park Church, start by checking out fhcanada.org/resources.